Happy Monday and good morning. I'm Chris Berg, wherever you are and however you may be listening. Thanks for making me part of your Monday and kicking your week off right here on AM 1100 The Flag, Super Talk 1270. Or you may be listening in a couple other ways. I'm going to share with you one in just a moment. Online at chrisbergshow.com. As well, if you've got an iPhone or an Android phone, you can go to the App Store and you just search Great Plains Integrated Marketing. And that's Great Plains Integrated Marketing. You can get our new app on the phone. Listen to us anywhere, anytime, anywhere in the world. Even if you're on a spaceship, you'll be able to pick us up. Number to call in this morning, 888-598-8464. 271-1100. And as always, you'll be doing a great job this morning. You can email me, talk, T-A-L-K, talk at chrisbergshow.com. Also, every Monday and Wednesday, we're putting up these fun YouTube videos. It's the Chris Berg Show mailbag video. So if you got any questions you want to ask, email those to me. We'll make sure we cover those, if not during the show, for sure, in our mailbag video that we put up on YouTube and Facebook every Monday and Wednesday. Also, want to invite you to go to my website. Take the people's poll this morning. The people's poll is this at chrisbergshow.com. Who will you vote for in the NDGOP U.S. House primary, Kevin Cramer or Brian Kolk? Let us know your thoughts and your answer there. Right now, we've got 92% at Brian Kolk, 8% with Kevin Cramer. And with us this morning, the gentleman, the former NDGOP chairman. We'll be talking a lot about the convention, obviously, in the first hour of the show. Also, now, I think he's a statewide director for Rick Santorum, plus running Kevin Cramer's campaign, Gary Emeneth. Gary, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate you being available. Let's obviously start with a convention. You know, a couple of heated comments that you had during and after this whole presidential delegate process saying, hey, this was a complete railroad job. In fact, I'm going to play the soundbite real quickly here, and we'll get your thoughts on what you meant specifically by this.
Well, really what happened is a railroad job by the Romney campaign. They had Romney parliamentarians, attorneys, all engaged in the process under the guise of the Republican National Committee, who are here making sure there was not a democratic process in place so that the people could vote. The whole issue boiled down to having a paper ballot to allow all the names to be in place so people, all the delegates, could vote. And they had people in place to keep it from allowing all the delegates to vote. And that's what became the argument on the floor.
So railroad job, strong words. I want you just to explain that a little more detail, and what would you have liked to seen happen?
Well, Chris, I'm really just embarrassed for the party because of not allowing the democratic process to work. The process and the rules state that anybody that applied for the application to be a delegate, 101 applied, could be nominated from the floor. And so we had forewarned what was going to happen. So there was not like they didn't know we were going to put some nominations in from the floor. And the disappointment for me is while you have a selection committee, and then you have an election, which is really forces everybody to support the selection committee that made the decision by 10 people. And when Mitt Romney ends up with 60% of the delegates based on people that have identified themselves as supporters for Romney, it's really an unfair process when Rick Santorum won 40% top vote. You know, it was his largest win of any state in the country was North Dakota. And then we're going to give the majority of the delegates to Mitt Romney. It's just really not a fair process. And by us just asking to have a ballot printed with the names we placed a nomination on a paper ballot, they would do that for any race. If anybody on the floor would have nominated someone from the floor for any office, they would have copiers at the convention. I've chaired the last two conventions. They would have put a ballot together and allowed people to vote. Literally, it took us arguing for a half hour before they finally agreed to actually display the names up on the screen. And it was really embarrassing when you have the party establishment really going out and not allowing the democratic process to work.
So you're saying you're disappointed in the party. Who do you think dropped the ball specifically?
Well, I'm not going to name names. They know who they are. They know it was coming. They were forewarned a half hour before the convention. I was told the process would be handled differently. But here's what happens is you got Ben Ginsburg, who's perhaps the highest paid political attorney in Washington, D.C., with three staff people on the floor at the convention pushing for no ballots to be printed. It became very apparent to me when the debate began on the floor they were not going to ever put the names on the ballot. The parties prepared for this to occur at a convention for these contingencies, and yet they resisted it. Consequently, it took them 7 hours to count the ballots because people had to write their names in. And frankly, they forgot to put a few of the people we nominated on the screen, and it really should have been a total reballot. But we didn't take that to the floor. It was just embarrassing for the party not to be open to the process.
Former North Dakota GOP Chairman Gary Emeneth with us this morning. Number to call in, 271-1100. Email is talk@chrisbergshow.com. Email coming in here from Hal saying, ask Gary how he selected delegates to the National Convention. So when you were the chairman, what was your process?
Hey, that's a great question, or email, Hal. You know, I don't think it's as big a deal when the delegates are bound, but the rules were changed about 6 months ago to make the delegates unbound. And once you unbind the delegates, that means they're free to vote how they choose to at the convention. So at the national convention. So if you're going to have a contested convention, which is possible this time around, if that does occur, then you ought to have an open democratic process. When I was chairman, the delegates were bound, so it really didn't matter. So if they're going to reward them based on party faithfulness, there was a process put in place in the 90s. I think Ed Schaefer was a part of it. Curly Hugman was a part of it. And at one level, it makes some sense. But when you unbind the delegates, that means they can vote any way they want to. You have a contested presidential race. Why would you not let people actually vote their conscience at a convention and let anybody do it? And I think it's really too bad because you really disenfranchise the Ron Paul people. And there's a lot of young people involved in the party process that are Ron Paul supporters. And it wasn't just the Rick Santorum supporters that were frustrated, because at the end of the day, they got two delegates. And two delegates out of 25 is about 8%. They got 30% of the vote. And the party can say, well, we're going to go ahead and encourage the delegation to vote based on the caucus. But encourage and requiring and binding are different words. And we can try to talk nice and say this is what's going to happen. But it wasn't a fair process, and it's too bad.
So are you suggesting by the write-ins that you think that some of the people that were written in should be the people going to Tampa?
Well, what I'm suggesting is that we wanted to be able to put the names in nomination, have a paper ballot with the names on the ballot, and let all the delegates, meaning 1,800 people on the floor, vote for their delegates of choice. And the party would not do that. The party would not put the names on a ballot, would not print a ballot, and weren't even going to let anybody know. Because you've got 2,000 people on the floor, you're reading off names, they were going to make people by memory remember who to write on the ballot. Are you kidding me?
I'm with you. I mean, I don't have a problem. See, for me, I don't have a problem with it. They select the 25, 26 people, whatever it is, that go down to Tampa. Because I think, like yourself, Gary, I mean, I watched you when I was with the party donating your time. I mean, it's a lot of work, a non-paid gig. So I've got no problem if Gary Emeneth or someone who's putting in a lot of time, that they should be the people going to Tampa. My issue is that there's this false pretense for the people of North Dakota. Hey, come on Super Tuesday. You can make a difference. This is great. And then you get there on Saturday. You're like, oh, really? I don't mean squat. I guess that was a complete waste of my time to show up on Super Tuesday.
That's exactly right. It was strictly a beauty contest. I know it. I mean, everybody else knew it. It's a momentum thing,
let me interrupt you for a second here, because I understand you as a former party chairman might know that, and non-binding sounds great to people that are politically savvy, but to the average Joe out there that you just talked about, the new people, they're going, wait a second, non-binding, binding, what are you talking about?
Well, Chris, I think a lot of people on the floor really didn't get what was going on until I spoke and explained the process that the caucus meant nothing. I must have had 100 people, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating, it came up to me and said, really? That's really the process? And I think unless you're really actively involved, you don't always know what's going on, and I think that's too bad. And I think, unfortunately, in the political process, you know, people define patriotism sometimes by waving a flag now and then, but, you know, patriotism has nothing to do with, you know, the blood and soil and everything, but it has to do with political ideas. And I think our founders and the documents they put in place were shaped where they want patriotism to be inclusive. It's meant to be generous. It tolerates dissent and sometimes even mandates it. And I think when you tie that together and not allow a voice for people to speak, because it's all got to be kumbaya, there's nothing wrong with debate and discussion on the floor, but when you try to hinder debate and discussion and stonewall it, it just looks very bad for the party.
Well, and again, I mean, the whole debate discussion thing, you know, should that be happening there on the floor? I mean, with all the newbies, I'm not a big fan of that either. I think the process can be obviously clarified and improved. The thing for me is I just want the people of North Dakota to feel like, hey, if I'm going to go hang out at a Ramada or whatnot and place my vote on a Super Tuesday, and I'm going to take time away from my family, that it's going to actually mean something in this process rather than just making me feel good about going out and doing my civic duty. And really, it didn't mean squat. So I want you to comment on that, Gary. We're going to get to a phone call here from Jim Casper as well when we come back. Again, number to call in, 271-1100. With us this morning, former NDGOP chairman Gary Emenith. Want to get to your phone calls, the email talk@chrisbergshow.com. We'll be right back, coming to you live from the PetroServe USA studio.